it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Oh, yeah, welcome back, Tokers and Tokettes. 4:02 in the Pacific time zone. That's a 4:20, if you look at it the right way, I suppose. Hell, it's always 4:20 here. What do we care what the numbers on the clock say? Glad you can make it here, and if you're listening live, take a visit to our chat room. We've got a bunch of people in our live chat right now, including Roland Reverend, who's helped me out at the last Cannabis Cup. Thanks, Roland Reverend. And John Thomas out there. Left Wing Larry, another one of our good friends who helps out at the Cannabis Cups. Hi in Hawaii. He's still listening to us thanks to the power of the sun. We got Brian Kerr up there in Canada. Canada. Good to have you all out there in the chat room. And again, just get in there, click the login. It'll ask for your Facebook to connect if you want to do it that way, or you can just make a separate account if you want to. And there's some good folks. They show up here almost every day. And if you got any questions about what's going on the show, what the hell I'm referring to, you ask it out there in the chat room, and there's a good chance that one of them will answer you. It's a good way to make some friends, and who knows? You might travel to one of their states and need to find a friend indeed, if you know what I mean. All right. Also, want to remind everyone, check out the 420 Radio app. If you haven't downloaded it yet, please download it. You can get it through 420radio.buzz for your iPhone or for your Android, and it's the simplest interface possible. There's play and there's archives. That's it. Nothing fancy, man. Just play the radio or listen to one of my last 10 shows. And I think we've got it upgraded. There was some problems with the cache for my podcast feed. Some people were complaining they weren't getting the latest stuff here. So we'll check the 420 Radio app live while I'm talking to you here and see how the archives are looking right now. And I want to thank Sacred Serum for being our sponsors for that. And yeah, it does look like it's upgraded all the way up to May 8th. Our last 10 episodes always available on the 420 Radio app. Also, some good news for 420 Radio. Looks like, as if my calendar wasn't loaded enough already, I may be covering some more events, and that would be CannaCon. The next CannaCon takes place June 11th through 13th in Denver, Colorado, and I was speaking with the president of CannaCon today to talk about how 420 Radio might be involved, and looks like we're going to be really involved. I can't tell you everything because it's not final yet, but I think we're going to have a good working relationship. You might see me in Denver, Colorado in the second week of June for CannaCon. All right. Hi in Hawaii wants to mention that I'm on iTunes as well. Yes, you can get the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and through the RSS feeds. Also on 420radio.org, if you go to 420radio.org/pod, I think it is. Let me make sure. 420radio.org/pod, I think is where I put that stuff. Where you can get the new podcast download links. No, that's not it. Where did I put that stuff? Should be a lot easier to find, Russ. 420pod. Was that it? Oh yeah, 420 pod. If you go to 420radio.org/420pod, you'll get the download links to connect on iTunes, Android, and RSS feed. You can go to 420radio.org/RBS pod for the Russ Belville Show podcast. And that's hour one. This hour that you're listening to live, you live listeners out there, the only way you can get the replay of this is to listen to the replays that day at 7 p.m. or the next day, 4 a.m. and 7 a.m., or to be a VIP member of 420radio.org. You can only get it at the 420radio.org site by going through programs/Russ Belville Show to Toker Talk Radio. And when you're on Toker Talk Radio, if you're logged in as a VIP, you'll be able to click on the download of the archives from every hour two show. It's available only to VIPs. Find out more by going to 420radio.org/VIP. You can become a VIP for as low as $4.20 per month. All right, folks, coming up in hour two, in addition to taking your calls at 84-420-RADIO, and any topic is open, whatever you want to talk about, we're here for you. If you've got an event you want to promote or bills that need to be acted on in your state, that's why we're here. We are Marijuana Activist Radio. We're here for you. We're here to provide a live platform for you. But also coming up on the show, we've got some more news stories to talk about. A great story Radley Balco put out this Friday on ending the use of jailhouse informants. This is another aspect of the war on drugs and just our mass incarceration system in America that needs to be addressed. We've been talking about ending civil asset forfeiture. That happened in the state of New Mexico. Now the state of Texas is talking about ending the use of jailhouse snitches in criminal cases. We'll talk about that when we come back. And then also at 420, we got Bacon Dan calling in with our Roots Monday Daily Toker Tunes. So stick around.
Jive, marry, grifo, grass, hay. Technically, it's cannabis sativa, the common name, marijuana. She has found a crutch to see her through her difficulties instead of facing up to them and coping with them. And in time, she may be ready to try something different, something better.
Gateway theory doesn't work. Maybe. It's a reality.
420 Radio, the activist radio station.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Big Daddy thinks.
What's happening? Big Daddy here, and I want you cool cats to come and chill over at my pad, the Funky Roller Rink.
Oh yeah.
We'll be grooving every Thursday night, right here on 420 Radio.
Funky Roller Rink.
Tired of storing your herb in back alley baggies? Then keep your herb fresh and protected with Pottles. Pottles are airtight and odor free, not to mention they're reusable, BPA free, and UV resistant. Pottles come in a variety of sizes, styles, and colors, so go check out Pottles at mypottles.com. Use the code STASH to get an additional 10% off. Again, that's mypottles.com, mypottles.com, and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Ha ha ha!
back, everyone. That's Richard M. Jones and his Jazz Wizards with Muggin' the Blues. That's some of the music we play every Monday night at 8 p.m. on the new Viper Hour. It's our collection of early 20th century blues, jazz, and swing that exemplifies the beginnings of our cannabis culture when they were singing about the reefer, the muggles, the jive, the tea. Folks like Louis Armstrong, Cab Calloway, Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday, all the way up to the Rat Pack era. It's the best of marijuana and drug-fueled music from the early 20th century. The Viper Hour, every Monday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, and on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday mornings at 1 a.m. All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. Also want to remind you from our last advertiser, mypottles.com. You can get 20% off your order if you use the promo code 420radio.org. I just received a complimentary basket of pottles from the My Pottles people. And we're going to make a giveaway out of that coming up maybe this week. We'll have some sort of contest to give away a whole bunch of pottles. But if you want to get your own, just visit mypottles.com and use the promo code 420radio. All right, so amazing story in the Washington Post this Friday. Radley Balco, who is one of my heroes. He's one of my heroes. He and Jacob Sullum, Paul Armentano. There's a few writers out there who I bow down to in their power to convey the atrocities in this drug war. And nobody's better than Radley Balco at this. He's reporting on a bill in Texas that would end the use of jailhouse informants in death penalty cases. In other words, end the use of snitch testimony. And Jordan Smith at The Intercept writes the following. The Northwestern Law School Center on Wrongful Convictions found in 2005 that false snitch testimony is the leading cause of wrongful convictions in capital cases in the modern era of the death penalty. That would be since 1976. Implicated in nearly half of the 111 death row exonerations at that time. Wow. So out of 111 people by the year 2005 who'd been released from death row because it was later found that they were truly innocent, or at least not guilty of what they were charged of, nearly half of 111, 55 or so, over 50, sent there by snitches lying. And as of May 4th this year, there have been 153 death row exonerations. So if that same rate is constant, we're talking 70 maybe people sent to death row from the lie of a snitch. It's astounding. It really is, says Alexandra Natapoff, a professor at Loyola Law School in Los Angeles and the nation's leading expert on the use of informants. Quote, criminal snitching is an enormous problem for our justice system, in part because it's an enormous source of error, end quote. No kidding. But there's a bill pending before the Texas legislature that would address the problem by banning all incentivized informant testimony in death penalty cases. Its chances are slim, but if passed, the law would make Texas the first state in the nation to eliminate the use of all compensated testimony in capital cases. The bill would theoretically still allow certain informant testimony from jailhouse snitches, but only if the defendant's statements to the snitch are recorded, a measure that is akin to a model policy proposal supported by Northwestern's Center on Wrongful Convictions and the Innocence Project. And this would be huge. Now, again, chances are slim. We are talking about Texas, where he needed killing is a defense to murder, okay? A state where Robert Durst got off of murder charges, okay? So we are talking about Texas. But this is so necessary because think about what most of the snitches are presenting. They're saying that somebody who was convicted of a capital crime goes to prison meets a fellow inmate and then begins confessing all their criminal capital crimes? Really? It strains belief to think that's the way it could actually happen. And think about the fact that we're talking about very serious convicted criminals who are offering this testimony. Somebody that you wouldn't put on the stand in any other case, their credibility would be shot. It's beyond belief to think that so many death row criminals would confess their sins to somebody they just met in prison. But as it happens, the prosecutors in these cases have no incentive or checks and balances to verify the veracity of these informants. In fact, the prosecutors will often take the stance that that's not their job. That's the police's job to investigate things. Their job is just merely to gather evidence for convictions. And Balco goes on to talk about a number of cases that he's reported on that exemplify this. One was a small central Louisiana town where there was a parade of jailhouse informants who all claimed to have sold drugs to this one family. And if all of them had been telling the truth, these people would be the biggest kingpins in the South. But according to Balco, the U.S. attorney stated at trial that it didn't matter if he personally believed the informants. It only mattered what the jury believed. After the family was convicted, it was revealed that the informants had lied, yet the U.S. attorney went on to use some of those same informants in other trials. It doesn't matter what the attorney, U.S. attorney believes. It only matters what a jury believes. So the U.S. attorney gathers together a ton of people to all lie, and that doesn't matter. It reminds me of that McCulloch, that DA in the Ferguson case. Oh, it's not my job to say which of these witnesses that saw his hands up or didn't see his hands up or saw him on the ground or backing away. None of that matters. I don't have to verify any of it. I just have to take all of them and put them before a jury. I have to make the jury decide whether this person's credible or that person's credible, even though the attorney in this case probably has far greater resources to make that determination. There was another case that he reported on. Now, Radley Balco reported on a trial from Chesapeake, Virginia, where a man was on trial for shooting and killing a police officer during a drug raid. He thought the police were criminals busting in on a home invasion robbery. The only reason the cops got the warrant in the first place, because one of their snitches broke into his home. The snitch had broken in to this man's home and seen the pot plants. Now, the cops claim, oh, we didn't know he broke into the house, but there's some evidence to show that was bullshit. And then they put on a jailhouse informant named Skeeter, of all names, who claimed that the man who shot at the cops admitted he knew the cops were raiding, boasted about killing the police officer, and mocked the officer's widow. Right. And supposedly, the man made these statements immediately after meeting Skeeter during their 1 hour per day of recreation at the jail. And seemed especially unlikely given the police station videos of Frederick sobbing with regret and vomiting upon learning that the officer he shot had died. During that trial, another prosecutor in Virginia stepped forward to tell the first attorney that Skeeter had a long history of lying, and no local prosecutor would ever trust him on the stand. But there's no incentive for them to check up on that. In fact, some incentive not to check out on that. See, as long as they're acting in accordance with being a prosecutor, they're protected from being sued over this stuff. That's absolute immunity. That's a doctrine of absolute immunity. You cannot sue a prosecutor for doing his job as a prosecutor.
All we want to do is pump you up.
All right, let's get pumped up. It's 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone. pump up the bong, pump up the vaporizer, pump up the dab rig, whatever it takes so your lungs will get mighty. You have such puny, girly lungs. We're back with Bacon Dan and a really cool cover when we come back. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show.
Radio, the home of marijuana experts. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Aw, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Time to relax and enjoy 420. Our good friend Bacon Dan is hanging out on the line. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing great, man. And finally, the weather is back to being my sort of weather. It's overcast and rainy.
It's back to Bacon Dan dreary. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Well, I tell you, while we had that break on Saturday, it was absolutely gorgeous. It was like temperatures in the 80s. Took the top down on the convertible and drove out to Lincoln City just to take Roscoe on the beach. That was the sole purpose. Drove 2 hours just to walk Roscoe on the beach. It was wonderful.
That's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah, yeah. So how are things going in Bacon Dan world? I know Who's the Ross has always got something going on. What's up with that?
Yeah, we're this whole month we're at the Kit Kat Club.
Oh, that's right.
For a special edition of our show. It's going really well. And last night, once we know the date of the Cannabis Cup, I think I just secured a table sponsor for 420 Radio at the Cannabis Cup.
Oh, my goodness. That's some fantastic news. Looking forward to that. Is it anybody who can give us free donuts?
Well, actually, it is an edible company that makes the Maverick Bar. My friend is actually the owner of it, and he loves what we do, and he's got great product, and he's like, it's a win-win situation, man.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to talking to him, and, you know, there's other events aside from Cannabis Cups as well, so we'll see what we can do.
Absolutely.
All right, so moving on to Roots Monday, our tune for today, you take my love of the 80s, and my love of swing bands, and you mashed them together in one Reese's Peanut Butter Cup of tune for today. So tell us all about it.
Well, today we've got Real Big Fish with Take On Me. I'm actually going to the Real Big Fish show here in Portland in about 3 hours. So it's going to be awesome. This is from The basketball soundtrack, if everybody remembers that great Stoney film. I absolutely love this song. I'm a huge ska fan. I grew up playing saxophone, so I will definitely, this is one of the few nights of the year you'll actually see me dancing.
So the Real Big Fish Show, what time is that?
That's at 7:30. They're playing with Less Than Jake over at the Roseland.
Oh, wow. Around 7, 8 o'clock, something like that. Fantastic. So many good shows. We are so spoiled here in Portland, Oregon. Anybody who's touring the West Coast hits us up, and we've got all these great independent theaters, lots of places to see live music. It's really the place to be. And when you get here, we'll send you Bacon Dan's way. He's the unofficial tour guide of Portland, I've decided.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, the people from Who's the Rock call me the King of Portland now.
So. The King of Portland. Oh, my goodness. Yes. We're going to have to make up some crown for that, I'm sure. We'll have to have bacon on it somehow, right?
I like the idea.
I like it myself. All right. Well, in celebration of the show tonight, we've got Real Big Fish, and this is their cover of the a-ha classic, Take On Me, on 420 Radio. Enjoy.
Twenty Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012.
Support for 420 Radio comes from Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies, a guide to gardening with nature, authored by Kip Zonderkopf. Based on the ethos that a living soil is the foundation of a thriving garden, Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies is your guide to naturally growing resinous buds and nutrient-rich veggies. Get the ebook now with instant download at kickassorganics.com. Previews available on Amazon, iTunes, Nook, Google Play, Kobo, and many other online retailers.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Welcome back, everybody. That's Baron Lee and the Blue Rhythm Boys with Reefer Man, one of our many covers of this tune, on the Viper Hour.
Have you ever met that funny Reefer Man? Have you ever met that funny Reefer Man? If he says he swam to China, wants to sell you South Carolina, then you know you're talking to that Reefer Man.
Here we go. The Reefer Man, check it out, 8 p.m. tonight on the new Viper Hour. Going to take a moment to talk a little bit about survival, overcoming long odds, an amazing, heart-tugging, good news story. And y'all know, and folks, it has nothing to do with marijuana. Sorry, I'm going to take a break. We're going to go off the warpath for a second because this is a story that means a lot to me. And I'm so, so happy about this story. It involves a young prospect, a rookie in the NFL, who has now become a defensive end for the New York Football Giants. And the story is reported on the New York Post. A murderous father, a battered mother. Rookie's long road to the Giants. And the reason why I'm so thrilled about this story is the young man's name is Oa Odigizuwa. And he is one of four boys raised by a single mother named Abi Odigizuwa. And they are here from Portland, Oregon. They live in Portland. And it's just an amazing story. And the reason why this has a personal effect for me is that Abi is friends with my wife. My wife and Abi were friends as they went to nursing school together here in Portland. And so my wife got to know Abi and her boys from the time they were young, teenagers. And we've gotten to see Oa grow up and become a high school football phenomenon at David Douglas High here in Portland. Went on to play for UCLA on a scholarship. And he was so recruited by UCLA, they wanted him so badly that he was able to talk them into giving a scholarship to not just himself, but also his younger brother. That's how bad they wanted him, that they scholarshiped his brother as well to get Oa to play at UCLA. And the amazing part of the story is that Oa's father, Peter, is in prison for murder. He lost his job let's see if I can find this. Not his job, his year in law school. He was at Appalachian Law School in Grundy, Virginia, and was failing. And so he walked onto the campus armed with a .38 and killed the dean, another faculty member, and one student, also shot and injured three other students before he was subdued. So this kid, Oa, his dad is one of those mass killers, those mass shooters that we hear about. This is back in 2002. So Oa, as a young boy, feared that he had that same mental instability as his father, that same propensity for rage and violence as his father. And Abi, as a single mom, with four kids, got them first out of Nigeria to the United States and then over to Portland, Oregon, and raised those four kids by herself and raised them with a strict, strict discipline too. I mean, some of the stories my wife has told me about AB and her disciplining of her kids. And folks, first of all, AB herself is a huge woman. I don't mean like fat. I mean like tall. She's big, right? She's a big woman, right? And her kids dwarf her. Oa, who's now going to be a defensive end for the New York Giants, of course, you got to think, how big is that? I think he's 285 now, 285 pounds, like 6'6", something like that. I have to look up his exact thing. But Oa isn't the biggest one of the four. That his youngest brother, Osa, has just graduated high school. He's gone 91-0 in high school wrestling. Two-time defending Oregon State heavyweight champion wrestler. And of course, now the college scouts are just salivating over him. He's got another couple of brothers. One of them, I think it's Iggy, is like a basketball phenom, right? He could end up going to the association. And the other kid is also hugely athletically talented. And not just that, these kids are also pretty damn good scholars too. Very, very good grades that they get, again, from the discipline installed by this mom. So I'm just so thrilled about this story, and I wanted to share it with everyone because they've overcome such incredible odds. I've posted the link in our chat room. It's out at the New York Post. There's some wonderful pictures of Oa and his mom. And again, these guys are monster huge, incredibly talented, but some of the most respectful, soft-spoken, wonderful kids you could ever want to meet. I did get to meet Oa once. My wife and I went out to his game for Oregon State High School, like all-star game. And he's on defensive end, right? They maybe ran the other team, might have run three plays to his side. Maybe. Right? I mean, him on that field with the best high school football players in Oregon, it looked like a man playing with boys. It was just phenomenal. Situations where they would be running sweeps to the opposite end from Oa, and he would track them down from behind the line and tackle them for a loss. Keep your eyes on Oa Odigizua, number 71 for the New York Giants. Going to be amazing. Thought I turned the links on there. Let's try that again. I'll see if I get the links to you. Links on. Did I spell that right? And then we'll try it again. There you go. See if that worked. I don't know if Links On is working anymore, but if you can't find it, just look for the New York Post. It was May 9th edition of the New York Post. So this came out on, what, Saturday? Amazing story. Amazing people. I'm so happy for the Odigizuas. And you don't know how long it took me to practice pronouncing Odigizua. 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 All right, so good news there, and again, more good news coming out of Texas with that story of ending snitch testimony in capital punishment. But it makes me wonder if we're going to accept snitch testimony at all. Why are we accepting snitch testimony? And the other thing that occurs to me too is just how much, it just got me thinking about how much lying goes on in our court system. You know, we have the saying innocent until proven guilty, right? Innocent until proven guilty. But you know, when it comes to snitch testimony, they ought to be considered liars until proven honest. This is an absurd system that we've managed to end up with here in this country. And don't get me wrong, I love our court system in the sense that we have adversarial court, right? We have a prosecutor and a defense that are adversaries that are seeking out the truth, because we go into this system wanting the truth, knowing that it's very difficult to get the truth, especially when people have incentive to lie. So why would we set up a plea bargain system and a snitch system that incentivizes lying? Our courts should be about decentivizing lying, right? Having people not want to perjure themselves. But when that jailhouse informant can get a deal for himself, to get better treatment for himself, to get time knocked off of his sentence, in exchange for testifying that someone he just met confessed to him the worst possible crimes. It's just ridiculous. I think that our justice system, as envisioned by the founders, as covered by the Sixth and the Seventh Amendment and Article 2, I think it's Article 2 of the Constitution, is a beautiful thing. But it was never intended to be the kind of mass-produced justice that we dole out in this country. One example of that is what's going on in Georgia, the folks at Peachtree Normal starting this campaign, No Plea for Me, talking about ending plea bargaining. You know, it's something like 96% of state cases and 99% of federal, I could be wrong on those numbers, but a huge percentage of cases never go to trial. It's all handled through plea bargains. It's all handled in a situation that encourages prosecutors to stack up as many charges as possible, not on the condition as to whether or not the person actually committed those crimes or should be punished for them, but on the idea that those are bargaining chips. Those are assets to be leveraged in a plea bargain with a defense attorney. It's just sick that our system works that way. And as the Georgia activists have been working on this No Plea for Me, they've been talking to justices and court officials and prosecutors and defense attorneys, trying to get their take on it. And, you know, sometimes we have this idea, you know, when we get these activist, you know, notions, if everybody just didn't take a plea. But that ignores the fact that, you know, in some circumstances, the plea is probably the best option for a lot of these people. No, but what they found out is that not everyone has to take, or has to not take a plea, I should say. It doesn't require 100% of the people cooperating with this idea. According to some of the sources I've talked to, who spoke to some of the judges in Georgia, they've said as few as 10 people demanding a jury trial would grind the system to a halt at their level. 10. 10 people foregoing plea agreements and going to jury trial. And keep in mind the recent polls on marijuana and how we got majority support for marijuana legalization finally. 5 out of 5 polls nationally in 2015 and 8 out of 10 in 2014 show national support for marijuana legalization. It's time now to call the plea bargain bluff and demand jury trials and force them to try to seat a jury. Just try to seat a jury that's willing to put people behind bars for a long stretch of time for an alleged marijuana crime. See, jury nullification isn't something that just happens when a juror thinks a law is unjust and votes to acquit. Jury nullification also happens when they can't seat a jury. And we've seen this happen in a number of cases so far. I remember reporting on one out of Montana where it was a simple possession case. The guy demanded a jury trial. They couldn't seat a jury. They couldn't find 12 people who could willingly put someone behind bars for what they consider to be a little amount of marijuana. They'd have jurors constantly complaining, you pulled me out of work for this? For some pot case? And it only takes one or two nullifications before those prosecutors get the message that they can't prosecute marijuana crimes, at least the low-level ones. It's a whole mess of things we have to fix in this judicial system, from plea bargaining to jailhouse snitches to all of the Fourth and Fifth Amendment violations that have been accepted in a series of Supreme Court decisions regarding drug testing and probable cause that are only now beginning to be eradicated. But we'll keep doing it, and we're going to keep reporting on all of these efforts and reminding you that the war on marijuana is really not that much about marijuana. It's really about freedom. It's about justice. It's about how our system works and how it treats people and how we should be treated fairly, not discriminated against because we chose marijuana over martinis or Marlboros. So keep that in mind. We'll keep reporting on these stories, and this will be a better world, not just for us marijuana consumers, but for everyone, everyone in the United States of America.
America's RR7 secret agent of progressive change.
The name's Belville, Russ Belville.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
Goldfinger. All right, stay tuned, folks. We got one more segment here. We'll take your calls. We'll also talk about the rest of the marijuana stories of the day. Looking forward to some of our travel. This weekend we'll be in Anchorage, Alaska. My first time ever in Alaska. I'm so looking forward to it. We get an interview with Charlo Green and a bunch of the folks up there in Alaska making legal marijuana happen in America's final frontier.
Four20 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
This is the moment, space and time ticking away now. You decide. I won't be silent, won't be still. Something shouts deep in me. Let it out, it's the only way to be. Speak your mind, it's the only way. Light around us now. The prison is deep inside of you. But freedom speaks, freedom calls. Listen how sweet you can hear that sound now. Speak your mind, it's the only way now.
Welcome back, Tokers and Tokettes. That's Marie McCrae with Speak Your Mind. I had to take a little extra long break there because I wanted to update you on the important meeting that's taking place at the state of Oregon's state house in just 10 minutes from now. The Measure 91 Implementation Committee will be voting on Senate, or working on Senate Bill 844. Now, this is a bill that was originally just going to be a little simple kind of one paragraph bill. Now has 31 different amendments that have been proposed for it. This, you know, folks, this is why some people just get turned off by legislation and politics is, man, it's almost impossible to follow what's going on here. Just this Friday, there were four amendments proposed, all within a 2-hour period from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock p.m. Then on Sunday, yes, Sunday, our legislature expects us to keep up with them on Sunday, they proposed another 4 amendments, all in a all within the same second. They were posted all within the same second, 1:43:37 to 1:43:38 p.m. And then today, 2 more amendments proposed at 3 o'clock, 2 hours before the meeting. How in the world are citizens supposed to keep up with this stuff if they have a full-time day job? There's just no way they'd be able to pull all this out. Now, looking at the most recent amendment, let me pull this one up. The most recent amendment is to provide a local option. This is the Dash 31 amendment. And the local option that they want is, let's see, the governing body of a city may adopt ordinances that prohibit the establishment of medical marijuana dispensaries or marijuana processing sites. In other words, Measure 91 was written so that to ban marijuana, you had to do the same thing as if you wanted to ban alcohol. You had to get an initiative, put it on the ballot, and in the general election, have the people vote on it. But the lobbyists, Rob Bovet from Associated Oregon Counties and Scott Winkles from League of Oregon Cities, are steadfastly pushing these amendments for local option that would ignore what the people voted on by a 56% margin and instead give a 3-man or a 5-man or a 7-man council the power to ban all marijuana commerce within their locality. Contrary to what we voted for. The Dash 30 amendment? Let's see. Does that have any local option? No, the Dash 30 is may not possess more than 12 pounds of usable marijuana per marijuana plant. For indoor sites, 6 pounds of marijuana. So limits on how much weight of marijuana per plant. Oh, and yes, the local option is in there as well. They want to be able to ban it. Now, it's gotten so bad that these local yokels, the League of Oregon Cities and the Association of Oregon Counties, have said if they don't get their local option, and folks, this local option, I'm looking through all the amendments, Dash 31, Dash 30, Dash 25, Dash 27, has this local, they're all including this local ability to ban. This is their Waterloo. Our opponent's Waterloo is they want to have the ability for their hand-picked 3, 5, or 7 person councils to be able to ban marijuana businesses. The rest of this stuff about plant limits in grow sites and, you know, that's the one that the medical marijuana community is up in arms about. And I understand why. They'd be going from 6 plants per card and having as many cards at a location as you want, to being able only to have 12 plants in a residential medical garden and 48 plants in a rural medical marijuana garden. And those are concerns, I suppose. But to me, they are nowhere near as odious as this proposal to allow local control of a city council or county commission to ban all marijuana businesses. That, to me, is the most odious part of this SB 844 and all these amendments. Now, some, 18 or 19 amendments proposed that almost all of them are pushing for this local option. And Bovet is so adamant about this that he is saying if they don't get their way on this local option issue, they will litigate this all the way to the Supreme Court. Either one. state or federal. They will take this all the way for their power to be able to ban the marijuana businesses that 56% of the voters said the people should have the only right to ban. And it makes me wonder, Rob Bovet, what are you scared of, man? This law has given a city the power to ban marijuana businesses if a majority of the people agree. Is it your fear, Rob Bovet, that in some of these locations where the city council might want to ban marijuana, the people disagree with them? See, folks, what's got me so concerned about this isn't about marijuana. This is about democracy. What the hell are our votes on an initiative for if the local governments can just outright disagree, disobey them, and get the legislature to give them their way? If we wanted the city councils or the county commissions to be able to ban marijuana businesses, that's what would have been written in Measure 91, and that's what the people would have voted for. But the people clearly voted that only the people should be able to ban marijuana. So I ask you, Rob Bovet, why do you hate democracy so much? Why do you hate the idea that the people have to decide what's good for their community rather than 3 or 5 or 7 typically business-connected elected officials? It's because you know that with local option resting in the people, you're not going to be able to get all the bans that you want to get. You know that the people have recognized that marijuana is not something that should be banned. It should be celebrated and it should be profited from for our tax revenue base. That's what the people have recognized. And I think what you've recognized, Rob Bovet, is that Measure 91 attaches the marijuana tax revenues to the marijuana licenses in a locality. If a locality votes to ban marijuana businesses, they get no marijuana tax windfall. And I think you recognize, Rob Bovet, that if you had to go into an election and have the people vote against more tax revenue that most of them don't pay, that most people will vote to tax the tokers. Most people will say, yeah, rather than raising our property taxes or proposing another sales tax one of these days, hey, why don't we tax the tokers? And they can't tax the tokers if they ban the licenses. You know it. And so like a spoiled child, you're going to not only scream and wail and take your ball home, you're going to ruin it for everyone. These lobbyists have vowed to take this fight to court and have warned that if they do, it could invalidate the entire commercial, recreational, and medical marijuana programs, leaving Oregon with just the legal right to possess and home grow. That's how far they're willing to take it. If we can't ban it in Podunk, Oregon, then by God, we're going to see it's banned everywhere in Oregon. That's their ultimatum. And if that's not a direct threat to democracy, marijuana notwithstanding, doesn't even matter that we're talking about marijuana, we're talking about local lobbyists bullying the people. And this would set a dangerous precedent for whatever your issue is, whether it's GMO labeling or gun rights. And if you want to put that on the ballot, good luck, because if the cities don't like it, they'll just get the legislature to change it. You want that to be the precedent? I sure as hell don't. So that's happening coming up in just a minute. You can catch it online if you want to watch the hearing. It's actually happening online. Go to olis.leg.state.or.us. You can find that. Or just OLIS in Google. For everyone here at 420 Radio, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalruss.com. You're taking seed, you're planting, you're growing, you're dying.